Yes. Well, who was here last week? And you came back after that 12-point marathon. I'm impressed. Unless, of course, you just came back to see if this sermon really would be pointless. But maybe not. The thing is, I think that today, really, this talk might just be one of the most important things that we can learn this year, especially when it comes to growing in our lives and our relationships, especially our relationship with God. Last week, we looked at the why we should serve, right? Why should we grow in our service to one another? And today, we're going to follow that up with how. How can we grow in our service towards one another? And if you're new today, welcome. I want to welcome you. I'm Pastor Bert, the lead servant here at Devon Community Church. And I believe that the best way for us to live out our name as a church is to serve God through serving our community and serving one another. I know that whenever I think of service, the first thing I usually associate with service is the service station. Now, for those of you that maybe are a little too young to know what that is, I'm referring to gas stations today, they call them. You see, even though I'm incredibly young looking, I remember a time when you would pull up to the gas pump and never have to leave your car, even if it was minus 20, 30, 40. There was somebody who would hop out of the building, run to your car, take your order. No, not take your order. But they'd find out how much gas you wanted, and they'd fill it up for you. They'd check your oil. They'd wash your windows. And then they would come back and take your payment. And you got to stay in the warmth and coziness of your vehicle. Anybody remember those days? Okay. So I'm not the oldest one here. Yes. I haven't found one yet. Oh, okay. I'm going to co-op Leduc from now on. Sorry if you own the one here. But the thing is, nowadays, what do you have to do? You have to get out of your own vehicle, right? Out into a blizzard quite often. And you have to try to put that little card in the thing, punch the buttons, all while wearing big fluffy mittens, right? And you somehow get the gas into the vehicle, and then you get it all back, you end up paying, you get back into your car to this overwhelming stench of gasoline because you spilled on your gloves, right? Am I the only one? My goodness.
No, I do it all the time.
No. Nice. Yeah, it's pretty smelly, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, the reason why they changed that, folks, is they said they wanted to save us money by not having to hire as many people at the gas pump so that we moved to self-service, right? Now, let me just tell you, back when they had full-service stations, I remember paying 32 cents per gallon of gas. If you do the math, that works out to 7 cents per liter. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm all for going back to 7 cents full service gas stations. Yes? Okay, maybe we should write a petition. I know. We're probably never going back to those days, folks. I know. And there's really, to be fair, no point in looking back. Because we need to start looking forward in our lives, looking ahead, right? What's ahead for us in 2025 is growth. It's growth. Our theme is grow, and this year, that's what we want to see in our lives. We want to see in our church family, and we want to see in God's kingdom. Not even a single amen on that one. Wow. Did you know that the Bible actually teaches us a lot of different ways that we should be growing as people? And a key way that's mentioned over and over again is through service, through serving. One of the guys who wrote an eyewitness account of Jesus' life and teachings that's found in the Bible was named Matthew. He recorded that Jesus said, "Service is actually the secret to greatness. Whoever wants to become great must be a servant of others." So Jesus says that greatness, having a great life and service go together. And we see this all the time. The key to being great at anything is service, right? We looked at this last week. We celebrate those who selflessly serve others. The Nobel Prizes, the Bronze Star, Canada's Public Service Award of Excellence. Everyone likes to celebrate service. Why? Well, I think it's because that's how God wired us. The Bible says that we are made in His image. And service is what Jesus did, right? In another eyewitness account written by a guy named Mark, he records Jesus saying this, "I didn't come to be served, but to serve others and to give my life as a ransom for many." Now, I mentioned this again last week. If you were to ask me what are the two words that sum up the Christian life, the Christ follower, it's service and giving. That's our life. Now, Jesus came, he said, to serve others and to give his life. That, if that's what he did, our job is to become more like him. It's what we need to be doing. Unless I learn how to serve others, and unless I learn how to give my life away, I will never become a faithful and fruitful follower of Jesus Christ. A simple definition for you on your outline, if you've got it there, of service is an action that a person does for someone else. That's all it is. An action that a person does for someone else. It's all about intent. Service is about doing things that are a benefit to someone else. Okay? Not to make us look good, not to help us get ahead, but to use what we have and what we can do for the benefit of someone else. Now, there's one statement in the Bible that tends to stand out to me and how much it refers to the church and mentioned a lot of times, and that's the phrase, one another. One another. It's expressed 59 times in the New Testament section of the Bible. And to me, this phrase is all about service, doing something for the benefit of another person. Love one another. Care for one another. Encourage one another. You know, it's been said that the primary activity of the church is one anothering one another. Now, those of you who were here last week, you probably heard that number 59 times and thought, oh no, is he going to? And you're checking your outline really quick, aren't you? To see if there's 59 points this week. No. The good news for you is that all those 59 points actually fall under four categories. Okay, so we're just going to look at those four areas today as really Jesus' example for us to follow him to become more like him, to grow to become more like him. Now, the first area of service that we're going to look at today is graciously accepting one another. Graciously accepting one another. Now, the early church starter and leader, Paul, instructed the church in Rome, this he said, accept one another. Then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God, I accept you. How does that feel to hear those words spoken to you? I accept you. To be accepted is perhaps the greatest need that we feel we have as human beings. Why? Because we're social creatures. God wired us that way. We're about relationships. There's a desire deep inside every one of us to be accepted. God even said it in the Bible's book of Origins in Genesis. He said, "It isn't good for man to be alone." It's not good for us. Why? Because we were created for relationship. So how do you serve one another through acceptance? Acceptance means to receive and treat someone as a friend. Acceptance means to receive and treat someone as a friend. It doesn't mean just being friendly, because I can be friendly to a total stranger. Doesn't mean I accept them, right? Acceptance means letting them into your world, into your space, into your life, serving them by living life together with them. Acceptance does not show favoritism. It doesn't judge. It doesn't discriminate. Because we all have different gifts. We all have different abilities. We all come from different places. We all have different hurts and hang-ups. We have different burdens to bear in this life. Our journeys are all different, aren't they? And each of those differences make you a special and necessary part of Jesus' church. Paul said it like this to the church in Corinth, Greece. He said, there are different kinds of service to God. Whether you form, together you form the body of Christ, and each one of you is a necessary part of it. So in this church, we want to cultivate that attitude of acceptance, don't we? As you look around the room today, you won't find a single person who's never blown it. Not one. We've all made mistakes. In fact, I'm going to be so bold as to say that if you are perfect, you probably don't belong here. Because we are about, none of us have arrived, and we're all about taking those steps, that journey, going farther, taking steps, growing, becoming more like Jesus. All of us are still growing. We are a group that don't have it all together, folks. We have a diversity of backgrounds. And we celebrate, we glorify God for that, right? Because he's brought us all together. Even though we're so different, he's brought us together under one banner, and that is Jesus' sacrificial death and resurrection. It doesn't matter where you've been. All that matters is where you're going. If you want to discover and grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, then you're welcome here. In the essentials, we have unity. In the non-essentials, we have liberty. But in all things, we have charity. Acceptance is the key. So let us all endeavor to grow in our service this year by graciously accepting one another. Now, the second area of service God wants us to grow in is genuinely honoring one another. Honor. You know, when I was an assistant pastor of church in BC, I remember going to a pastor's workshop that really changed my attitude and my understanding about honor, really. It was called Being Number One at Being Number Two. Isn't that a great title? The whole lesson was about honoring others by serving them and making them successful. It was about not having to get the credit, but giving it away. It was about not being the hero, but being a hero maker. Paul said it like this to the church in Rome, honor one another above yourselves. Honoring another above yourself means making them the hero of the story. The single issue that assaults our society more than any others is probably this. It's all about me, right? It's about me. It's my rights. Forget about you, especially if that, you know, threatens my rights or affects me in some way. It's also, I've found, to be the main issue in church. I need the attention. Look at me. See what I can do? Anyone that still thinks this way needs to grow up. Infants talk like that, right? Jesus said, if I were to honor myself, that honor would be worth nothing. Those that look for honor won't find it. It's those who humbly work for the benefit of others who find honor. Paul put it like this to the church in Philippi in northern Greece. He said, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Humility is the attitude that Paul says we all must have as followers of Jesus. And he explains why a couple of sentences later. He says, in your lives, you must think and act like Christ Jesus. Christ himself was like God in everything, but he did not think that being equal with God was something to be used for his own benefit. But he gave up his place with God and made himself nothing. He was born as a man and became like a servant. So Paul says our attitude needs to reflect Jesus' attitude here. And when we do that, we find that honor does not only benefit the other person, that we're showing honor too, but it benefits us as well. It's the universal law of reaping what you sow. And in this case, it means that God honors us for honoring others. Listen to what John recorded Jesus saying. He said, if any of you wants to serve me, then follow me, and you'll be where I am, ready to serve at a moment's notice. The Father will honor and reward anyone who serves me. When we show honor to others, we are serving them. When we serve others, we're serving Jesus. And when we serve Jesus, God said he will honor and reward us. Jesus is our example of how to honor others. And we're to follow him, to live as he did. King Solomon of Israel, known as the wisest person to have lived in the ancient world. Listen to what he wrote about this. He said, respect and serve the Lord. Your reward will be wealth, a long life, and honor. So Solomon here says that anyone honors, respects, and serves the Lord with their lives, they'll be rewarded with the three things that we desire most in this life, isn't it? Wealth, who doesn't want wealth? Long life, who doesn't want that? Honor, to be respected. A sad thing is that most people strive for these things by doing the exact opposite, right? By dishonoring God and dishonoring others, stepping on people to get ahead. That's how upside down our society is. And until people heed God's instruction to honor him by honoring others, their striving will only ever produce futility, frustration, and fear. So let's take God's word to heart this year, though, and genuinely honor one another. Amen? Third area we're going to look at, God wants us to grow in, is gently caring for one another. Gently caring for one another. To care for someone is to be committed to them by being concerned for their well-being. That means care is fueled by compassion. Paul told the Greek church in Philippi, don't be concerned only about your own interests, but also be concerned about the interests of others. So over and over again, as we read the Bible, we find Jesus being moved with compassion for people. And many of these people were not the kind of people that we would maybe naturally feel compassion for. That's why we need the loving compassion that only comes from knowing and following Jesus. Jesus didn't just say he cared about people, right? He showed his care by serving their greatest needs. He cared for the blind by restoring their sight. He served the diseased by restoring their health. And in the ultimate act of servanthood, he gave his own life to pay the penalty for all of our sin. When we serve others as Jesus would, when we sacrifice for others as Jesus did, and as we show compassionate care in tangible ways, as Jesus modeled for us, it softens even the hardest of hearts to God's love for them. Jesus said, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The first thing that I ask when I read that line, let your light shine before others, they may see your good deeds, glorify your Father in heaven. I look at that and I say, what kind of deeds is he talking about? If I want to do this, if I want to glorify God, if I want my light to shine, what are the good deeds? Makes sense, right? Well, the Greek word in the original text, which that's translated as good here, good deeds, doesn't merely refer to good as opposed to bad. Okay, it's not good or bad. It actually has this connotation that our deeds are attractive. They're appealing. So Jesus is telling us, or here Paul's telling us, be generous with your lives. Serve people in an appealing and attractive way. By caring for others, you'll prompt people to care about God. By caring for others, you'll prompt people to care about God. So when we serve the very real and tangible needs of others, it inevitably opens them up. It softens them, which can bring opportunities to show them who Jesus is and what he's done for them. It can bring opportunities to show them that we also care about their spiritual needs, not just their physical ones. And they may not even realize that they have those yet. You know, people are more open to the good news that Jesus cares about them when we care about them, when we show them his care through our lives, rather than just say that we do. So caring for others, I think it's the antidote, for our selfish society. And it's one of the best ways, I think, that we can follow Jesus' care and show his care and compassionate heart towards people by gently caring for them like he did. Amen? Fourth thing, last thing, about service that God wants us to grow in is to generously encourage one another. Generously encourage one another. I want you to look at how the author of the letter of the Hebrew church says that encouragement, equipping, and edification should all be the hallmarks of our gatherings together. It says, we must also consider how to encourage each other to show love and do good things. We should not stop gathering together with other believers, as some of you are doing. Instead, we must continue to encourage each other even more as we see the day of the Lord coming. You know, the many, many letters that compose the New Testament portion of the Bible were written to instruct and encourage the church at that time, right? And the humorous thing to me is how many times the church is encouraged and instructed to encourage and instruct one another. You can't read through all the letters there to the early church in the Bible without realizing the mutual ministry of encouragement and instruction. They were the keys to growing as followers of Jesus. And when we encourage others to use their gifts, to use their abilities, when we teach them that what the Bible says about becoming a mature Christ follower, when we mentor others to follow us as we follow Jesus, when we grow in service, then they grow in service as well. They grow as well. It's a mutual benefit to both parties, isn't it? That's why it's so important to come together as a church family, folks. Not neglecting meeting together so that we can encourage one another and be encouraged by one another. I didn't feel like going to church. Well, then you probably needed to, right? And if you're here watching online, you know, and you've never given your life to Jesus, never received him as your Savior, then that's the encouragement I want to give you today. To take that step. Don't wait any longer. Jesus said he came to give you the best life you could ever dream of. It's not a life of ease. Never promised that. But it's a life of purpose and a life of destiny. Life is still life, folks. It can be hard. It can be unfair. There will be trials. There will be trouble. along the way. The difference is that Jesus promises to be with us and help us through every step of the way until we see victory on the other side. And I found that his help quite often comes through that mutual ministry of his followers, one anothering one another. Once our service here is done, and we're done serving one another, he promises to take us to be with him forever, to honor us, to love us, and be with us forever. And we get to serve him in the most amazing ways through all eternity. And if this is something that sounds like a step that you perhaps would like to take today, then I'm going to help you with that in just a moment. I'm going to lead you in a brief prayer to God, surrender, of commitment to Jesus as your Savior. And you can follow along silently with me. And just ask if we'd all bow our heads at this time. For those that want to do pray that prayer for the first time, if you'd like to be included, simply as we're all eyes are closed, our heads are bowed, I'd like to just quickly let me know. I want you to pray for me or lead me in this prayer right now. Just quickly raise your hand. Thanks. Let's just pray together. Dear God, I admit I haven't been living for you. I've been doing things my own way. Yeah, pretty much only for myself. And God, I haven't been giving you much thought in my life, and I'm sorry for that. I know now that you only want the very best for me. So please forgive me, Lord, and make me right with you today. I believe that Jesus came to earth to die for me and restore my relationship with you. So I ask him to be the leader of my life from this moment forth. Please help me to follow you by using my abilities, my time, my resources to serve others, to serve you by serving others. Thanks, God. Thanks for accepting me into your church and into your forever family. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As the rest of the band comes to join us, if you pray that simple prayer from your heart for the first time, could you do me one other favor and just fill in a connect card? If you're in the auditorium, it's just in the seat pocket in front of you. If you're online, it's linked to the video stream. And I'd love to hear about it and provide you with some resources to help you as you start your new life with Jesus.